Good morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name is Rick Mazenov. I am the Northern Business Rep for the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers Local 146 out of Edmonton.
Okay. What is a boilermaker and what do they do?
A boilermaker, basically we work on, we work on boilers, we work on heat exchangers, we work on pressure vessels, anything that involves pressure, storage tanks, feed wells for dams, nuclear, out east, that's all our trade.
Yeah.
So we deal with the pressure aspect of the internals of industrial equipment.
Yeah. How'd you get into that?
Well, my great uncle started in the boilermakers, I think 1 year after it was localized in Edmonton, and then he got my dad into it, and then my dad's like, if you're not going to school, you're getting a trade, so come with me.
Yeah.
And I signed up.
And so school wasn't your thing?
No.
Mine neither, man.
I like working with my hands.
Yeah. When I graduated from high school, I was just like, man, I don't want to do more school, but my mom made me. Yeah. Thank goodness. Big shout out to my mom, Pamela Pierre. Thank you very much. But you got to do something. So you got put into the trades. And so how old were you when you got into that?
Well, 17. Graduated, and my dad said, okay, come out with me for the summer. I did that, and then I went back and got some more education, thinking that I might want to go to university. I needed a couple other courses. And then after that semester, I did it for 3 years.
Yeah.
And at that time, I worked for my father for a specific company building storage tanks.
Yeah.
And I got yelled at every day. I had buckets kicked out from underneath me. Because my father always said, you know, if you're going to succeed, you're not going to, and nobody's going to say that you did it because of your dad.
Yeah,
so I
right.
just said, screw this. And I actually left and moved to BC for 10 years and got into high steel rigging, building cell towers and rooftop installations.
Okay.
Got married, moved back to Alberta, was doing the same thing there for a little bit. And then in 2000, there was an opportunity to come back to the union doing boilermaking, and I jumped on it. So since 2000, I've been back steady with the 146.
Nice. And then did that opportunity directly bring you to Fort McMurray, or were you jumping around prior to?
A lot of, you know, our bread and butter for a lot of years was up in this region.
Yeah,
you know, like there is refineries down in Edmonton. There's quite a few refineries for shutdown. And, the first part of my career, I built mostly the storage tanks. So we bounced around. There was, you know, Hardisty has a major hub, a lot of tankage. But I did a lot of work at the Enbridge terminal just outside of Suncor Gates and at the Syncrude site. All the big tanks there that are just outside the gate, I actually worked on as an apprentice.
Cool.
Yeah. Building those. So
it's neat to drive by and see projects that you worked on.
I'm sure if you strip the insulation off, there's a Rick was here written in soapstone
that's
somewhere.
Awesome. It's like, that's my favorite thing about talking to people in the trades. Like, it doesn't matter what trade you're on. Like, I was in England visiting some of my wife's family, and we're driving down, and her uncle worked on building one of the buildings.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, that's my building. And like the sense of pride that people have.
Yeah.
And like when you're driving, I was in Cape Breton, I said it earlier, I was with a guy who worked for road construction, and we drove over a patch of road. He's like, hey, I helped build this road. And like, you have that sense of like, yo, I did this. And that's something to be excited about.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Not that my kids actually paid attention or really cared, but my father used to do it. It's like, oh, I built that. And it's good to see it still standing after 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
40
yeah.
years, right?
So. Your kids might not care when you say it, but like they register it. They're like, oh, cool. Like they brag about that to their friends. Oh, my dad did that. Oh, yeah, that's neat.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's awesome. So where do you call home currently?
I actually live, I live in north of Stony Plain.
Oh, beautiful.
I have a couple of acres out there. But I spend the majority of my time up here. I'm up here basically Monday to Friday.
Okay.
We rent an office space right across the road here in the building with 955.
Okay.
And I spend my time up in the region mm-hmm. because this is where my area is that I look after.
Yeah.
I look after the members up here. And we always have work up here, so we're very grateful for the Wood Buffalo region and the people that live here, especially, you know, that, you know, there's always the bad apples out there that cause issues, but, you know, for the most part, they're, you know, we appreciate this town and the people that live here for the services that they provide when we're away from home for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you talked about, you come up here for a shutdown for 3 months and you're working a 6-in-1 schedule. You have one day off. You know, we encourage our people to, you know, go to town, blow off some steam, then go out for dinner, support the local economy type mm-hmm. thing. But, you know, we do appreciate that's why I got involved with the Labor Council up here, you know, to try to give back to the community where I know, like, well, I've been personally involved in the Easter. We went down and handed out lunch for less fortunate people.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Labor Day barbecue coming up, which we're heavily involved in as well. We're providing the trailer and the truck for the Canada Day float, you know, just trying to give back to the community. Like, we don't have a large presence up here.
Yeah.
We don't really have, like, a lot of members that live in town, but we spend a lot of time up here.
Yeah, that's cool.
So,
with your time spent up here, what are the restaurants you like to hit?
Oh, I love Pho.
Okay.
I love Pho, and I love steak. So
okay, so what do you go to?
I go to the Keg, and I go to Pho Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. What is it about the Keg?
Like, it's, well, I mean,
consistency.
Because you don't have a Ruth Chris.
Yeah. Listen, I was down in Vegas one time. I used to work in oil and gas, right?
Yeah.
So before I started my own company. And so we were on a company trip, right?
Yep.
Quarterly meeting. And we went to Ruth's Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to go back into their wine cellar. Like, they had one of the tables back there.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference in steak.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had Wagyu?
No.
Bro.
No. I usually go for the tomahawk.
Okay. Okay, a big, yeah. If you ever have a chance to eat Wagyu, it's ridiculous. It'll cost you like $200 to $300 for like the smallest little thing you've ever seen.
Yep.
But it's not even fair. I don't even know why you call it steak. It's so different. It's like, it's on a level of its own.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, try it out if you ever have it. If you ever want it, I don't want to say waste your money. If you feel like investing in an experience, Wagyu is the way to do it.
Get your kids to buy it for you on Father's Day.
There you go. So when you're out on your property, like, it's a lot of property, you said? You got
2 acres. It's only 2 acres.
That's a lot of property, man. That's more than I got.
No, there you go.
So what do you do out there?
I cut grass because I'm gone all week. We just put in an above ground garden this year, so I've had to replant once, and we had another frost yesterday, so I got to see if I got to replant again.
I
spend time with the wife and kid. Like, the kids are all grown up now, so we also have a lake lot that we rent that we go out and try to spend some time out there, and, you know, with our dog. And
you're busy, bro.
I do as much as I can when the time off that I have, because, like I said, like, I'm busy. There's a lot of things to do. Still haven't finished the renovations, and I haven't done the baseboards in the basement yet, and the wife is on me all the time to finish those off, and I keep telling her, yeah.
Well, she'll see this podcast and be like, man, don't worry about those baseboards.
No.
You're a busy dude.
No. You're never busy enough.
Yeah. So where does that drive come from?
Just my upbringing. My father was a poor dirt farmer growing up, just outside of Edmonton, just south of Beaumont. And, he had to work hard for everything that he ever got. And, you know, there was an expectation that if you want anything in life, you gotta apply yourself.
Mm.
You have to work at it. And, idle hands are the devil's workshop as well. You know, you tend to get into some bad habits if you're making lots of money and not doing constructive things with it.
That's right.
So it's just always been instilled in us that, you know, like me, my brother and my sister, we're all hard workers. My brother's also a boilermaker.
Okay.
So it's just upbringing, I guess.
Yeah, very cool.
Shout out to my parents.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I find it quite interesting. Like you said that your uncle did it, your dad did it, you do it, your brother does it. It's one of, like, as a recruiter from back in the day, it was one of those things. Anytime I went into a different company, you found out, like, oh, man, there's, like, a lot of family lineage going through whatever trade it may be.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest kind of recruitment method is seeing it in your household. What are you guys doing to like bring it outside of the household to get like more people aware of Boilermakers and what you guys do though?
Well,
it's an industry that needs people.
It is. And it's not quite as easy. Like you can't just come down to the hall and say, okay, I want to be a Boilermaker and we send you out to work. We get involved in high schools. We have programs where we have students that come out. We actually had a competition here this late winter, where we had the Edmonton area local high school kids that were taking welding in shops. We had a weld off. So we had a competition for junior, like, you know, the older, and then the grade 10 and the grade 12s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we try to get out in the community that way. We try to get in school. We do have a presence up, and the contractors as well that work with us, they are reaching out to the Fort McMurray high schools as well to try to get kids into the welding and to try to get it.
Yeah.
Then with us, we have a 1 week long course that we offer to basically, it's an introduction to work safe. Right, so you take a course and it teaches you basic safety, basic rigging, basic, like, you know, you get to play with a cutting torch, you get to set up an oxyacetylene, but you learn about the safety aspect of it. You learn about the tools that we use, just to give you a basic understanding. Once you've completed this course, you can then sign up, and when we're in our busy season, they'll send you out as a permit. You have to get so many hours to get into, like, once you get so many hours and so many job reports, you then come up for membership review. It's usually about 3 months of steady work, 3 to 6 months of steady work, depending on the individual.
Yeah, of course.
Right? You get good reviews, you get in. If you get bad reviews, usually they'll talk to you and say, hey, you know, this is not acceptable for what we offer to our clients that we work for. You got to bring it up.
Yeah.
And once they reach those goals, then they get it brought for review, and they become an indentured apprentice, and we sign their blue book, and they're on their way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, in regards to the union in Fort McMurray, what, like, because you're here right now, like, what are you seeing is the difference in Fort McMurray when it comes to, like, what you do and the members that you have?
Well, we don't have a large local presence. Mm-hmm. We've always encouraged people to, like, that live up here, that are in our trade, get involved, where they work the long-term maintenance groups. They're not really the shutdown group. So we have a very small footprint, and what I try to do is like, we have our union meetings, and we actually have a union meeting up here once a month, so for the local people to come. Encourage them to get involved. Encourage them, like, when there was the rally downtown, I encouraged and called as many members as I could, come down and support, right? Mm-hmm. Like, be involved in the community. When we had the day of mourning ceremony, again, I encouraged the members to come out and, you know, get involved. And we try to get people involved in the community, period, end of story. Whether it's there, here, it doesn't matter. But if this is your community, like, get involved. Like, and it's getting better. Under the leadership of Omar, the Labor Council has really established a presence in this town. I've only been doing this since December.
Oh, wow.
At this
position. You're extremely good at it.
Yeah.
You're a great spokesperson, man. Good for you.
Thank you. But Luke Berube, who used to be up here, he was up here for 5 years, and he was heavily involved in the Labor Council, and he's moved on to Calgary now, and I've kind of stepped in to take up the slack for my union.
Mm.
But I've seen, like, there's a person there that's passionate and actually cares about the community, and it's like anything. People when people don't see leadership and they don't see a reason to become involved, they can become complacent. They forget that they're part of a union. They forget that there's events and there's things that go on.
Yeah.
And that's what Omar's vision and dream is. And that's what I want to help him do that.
Yeah.
Right. I want to be involved. It's, you know, and as much as I possibly can for, it's not even my community, but
right.
I know that this community has given a lot. I was here for the fires. I was actually working. I was living up in Thickwood at the time when the evacuation occurred.
Okay.
I spent like this community helped and this region helped me raise my family. Like I want to be able to give back now that this is my territory. I want to be part of this community as best as I can, because I am here more than I'm at home.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just want this to, and I want 146 to be a presence up here as well, so that my membership does see a value in getting involved, right, and contributing to the community, because that's what it's about, right?
That's what it's about, man. You got to contribute. You got to show up. You got to be present. It's
that's
not
right.
just about texting on your phone,
yeah.
and it's like, yeah, I support. Well, how about you get off that couch and show your support?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Very cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're out of time, but before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. The mic, the camera, the lights.
Okay.
Have fun.
Well, again, I guess I've already said it. I encourage all tradespeople that have been able to work up in this area, whether you're in camp, whether you've got the opportunity to stay in town, support the community. This community needs our support. They have infrastructure here that is excellent. Take an opportunity to take a look around and support this community. That's it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world. That's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Good job, man.
Thanks.
Excellent. Only since December, eh?
Yeah.
Wow. You're like, you know your shit. That's awesome.
I sat in the wings for a long time.
Yeah.
Because there was never any...
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.